They boarded in pairs, a male and a female, two by two, or so it has been said. On what basis was each chosen? Was it the tiger with the best stripes, the lion with the fullest mane, or the loudest roar? The chimp that was least quarrelsome, the elephant that seemed most noble, the parrot that knew when to keep its mouth shut, or the one with the most colorful plumage? Or was it simply a matter of chance, being in the right place at the right time? Or perhaps it was a matter of brute strength or personal charm, coquetry even. And in the selection of the mate, were genetic attributes taken into consideration? What combination would make the most promising offspring? And then there's the problem of the food chain. Were the herbivores separated from the carnivores? Imagine the possibilities of carnage had they occupied the same quarters. But then, left to their own instincts, would the flesh eaters have not devoured each other in desperation? After all, instances of cannibalism amongst humans in not dissimilar circumstances are well known. It was probably easier for the tortoise and the snake, who can go without eating for much longer periods of time, she thinks. If you could have managed it, you'd have been far better off climbing the highest tree and waiting it out, for few on board such a ship could have survived.
The skull was black when they brought it to me. It was black from the irons and acids and mineral replacements of Ice Age gravel. It was polished and worn and gleaming from the alterations of unnumbered years. It had made strange journeys after the death of its occupant. It had moved with glacial slowness in the beds of rivers. It had been tumbled by floods and, becoming an object of grisly beauty, had been picked up and passed from hand to hand by men the individual had never seen in life.
She watches a rowboat drifting by. A large green parrot peers intently at the pages of a book, her head bobbing as she scans each line of text. A chimpanzee, wearing a tattered Power Rangers t-shirt, gesticulates inquiringly. The parrot looks up from her reading. "I'm advancing evolution," she replies. "I want to make art." The chimp screams with laughter and bangs a big stick on the floor. No, you don't need a weatherman, 'cause everybody knows. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. No, you don't need a weatherman, 'cause he built the raft in advance. He liked to be prepared and in control. He boarded in Wellington's and a fisherman's slicker. He checked his zip drive discs in their waterproof diver's pouch strapped to his chest and settled down in a comfortable chair with his laptop computer and his digital phone. Those discs contained everything of importance in his life. Everything else was replaceable, he thought. It's only money, and besides, he was insured. As for the rest, well, that's the way the wind blows. You don't need a weatherman, 'cause everybody knows. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. To know which way the wind blows. Much, much later, we would find the skeletons of fish in parched grasslands, along with rusted metal remains with the name John Deere on one end, and plastic water bottles in the excavations. They say there were cities there, in the northwest forests. Now they live in tree houses amongst the owls.